Is there anything that we can just, well, I guess we should start the meeting and just go through some of the stuff here doesn't require any voting. So, very quickly, introductions. David, I'm council co-chair, but I'm also going to be chairing, I'm facilitating the meeting this Monday. Let's go really quickly with other council members. So let's start with Chuck.
Chuck Adams, co-chair for Council Affairs.
Great. And then Ben.
I'm Ben, co-chair for Community Engagement.
Battery 90% connected to DS.
And then Ken.
Ken, member at large, steering committee member at large.
And then Kevin.
Kevin Hutchcroft, HHS.
Cool. And then we have council staff. Start with Dave.
David Jordan, council staff.
Valerie.
Valerie Tupido, council staff.
And then the other dude in the corner.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
All right, great. So since we can't vote on the agenda, what do we do? Do we just sort of like...
Just take a look at it and approve by consensus. You don't need to do a necessarily like a vote, but at least see if it's okay with it.
Okay, great. So yeah, if there's no other additions or subtractions, then we just go ahead and approve by consensus. And then next is the draft meeting minutes from the last meeting we had on November 19th. Okay. Thank you, Mark.
So you'll see here our pro forma, and then a report from CHEP and HHS occurred at the RSR and health symposium seminars. Some updates, brief ones. Notice that Michelle Spence resigned. I gave you the grantee assessment report, which is now on the agenda on the website, if people like to take a look at it. And then we looked at the work of Council Affairs in creating the work plan slash presentation calendar for 2021. And we did meeting evaluation. And that was all she wrote.
Great. So thanks for the minutes. If there is no additions or subtractions or any other friendly amendments, I'd like to approve by consensus as well. Great, fantastic. Also, I can't believe that we're the only ones here in the steering body call, 3:10. All right, next I have announcements. So are there any announcements from council members at all? No. Great, no public comments. Moving on to CHEP and HHS updates. Kevin, you have anything to say?
I suppose just a couple of very brief things since we've last met. I don't think it was announced to this group that we did receive the, we were informed that we received a partial award for Part A. I believe it's about 33% of formula and 20% of MAI funding. This is not uncommon. It's just more work for us developing and completing multiple contracts as opposed to a few, but we'll do it. And we did get approved. There was some question about the waiver, whether or not we'd be approved for that. We did get approval for that. So that is a done deal for the year. I think that's it.
Cool. And then, well, Thomas is not here, so we can just move forward then. I can't remember what he had last time, but it's fine. Okay, great. I guess we should have, should we do committee reports, Mark, or all right, let's go through with committee reports. Right. So community engagement, you're up.
So community engagement was scheduled to happen on the same day a group of terrorists attacked our nation's capital. So it was a very awkward mind set for a lot of people. So we did decide to cancel the meeting because a lot of folks were, you know, just dealing with what they were watching on TV.
That's totally cool. Thank you. And then next I have Council Affairs Committee. I guess I should go ahead and speak on that since I was chairing that. Yeah, so we voted on co-chair. So again, the co-chairs will be myself and Chuck. Then we also discussed the, Dave Jordan presented the stuff on the needs assessment and the COLA. And then, which I guess will be part of today's conversation, presentation for the full council meeting on Monday. Is there anything else, Chuck? I don't remember.
No, that was it.
Okay, yeah.
You brought up, you know, discussing maybe COVID stuff.
Yeah, and so then we decided to add the conversation for a small breakout for the full council meeting on Monday and just talk about sort of like future, sort of like thinking about topics specifically around COVID, and also sort of like what that would look like as we look forward to planning meetings for the 2021. All right, so next I have membership. Anybody from membership can report on what happened at that committee meeting?
Were there staff there?
Yeah, I can report on it, I guess. It was a relatively uneventful meeting. We didn't actually have a ton on the agenda beyond boilerplate. I think the only two items outside of our boilerplate material were council staff's efforts to support council members around technology issues during quarantine, and our additional outreach efforts and how those might be going and or what populations we were looking to recruit from. And that sort of dovetailed with the conversation from community engagement about youth, which is one of the populations we are short on. Yeah, beyond that, there wasn't really a whole lot. Ken.
Great. Ken, do you have a question?
Yeah. Michelle Spence's exit interview, was that done? Was that discussed?
You know, Ali generally does the agenda for membership, so I can't say for sure, but I presume that it was not available yet, and that's why we did not discuss it.
Right. Thank you. And then I think that's it. Oh, and then, damn it. Do we have a proposed date for PLWH to start engaging with each other? Has that conversation happened at all?
Honestly, it hasn't. I'm usually the one who does the coordinating around that. It just hasn't been on my radar. I think with Mike Shriver, unfortunately out, he has often been, and Ken have been sort of some of the driving, forces around that. I'm happy to send out an email to PLWH members this week and, find out if we want to meet. Generally, I believe our, the decision last year, 2 years ago, was to do quarterly meetings. I had to have to look back to confirm that. It might have been only three meetings a year, but I think it was quarterly. Our first quarter is, you know, just at the beginning. We still have time to fit one in. So I can follow up and we can see about scheduling something if people have interest.
No, so we haven't had a Zoom PLWH meeting. So it seems like we have to do a little coordination before we start one, if we do. in some ways, perhaps Mike can attend one of those. And Charles, I think, far more than I would be involved in.
Hey, Ken, can I ask you to use your outside voice?
My outside voice. I'll turn up my voice. Okay. Sorry.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. You know, and Dave, just even if it's just sort of like an exploratory sort of email, it'd be great to see who has capacity to attend, and also if there are technological challenges, to see whether we can address those as well. I'm getting uncomfortable that we haven't had PLWH input in our planning process, and so I want to at least put it out there that, hey, if you guys are ready, we'd like to happen, you know, even though we don't have really anything in the agenda yet. But at the same time, like, if there are challenges, I'd rather we just address those now. But please, okay? All right, thank you for that. Great, so we have new folks come into the meeting. Thomas, you want to introduce yourself? You're on mute.
Hey, Thomas Noble, government co-chair.
Great, thank you. And then we have someone calling in from an iPhone number.
That's Dean. Yes, hi, Bill Bloom. Oh, hi there.
Oh, great. Awesome. Cool.
Sorry. That's.
Thank you. And then, Thomas, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you have any CHEP updates for us or anything like that?
Did folks talk about vaccines at all or just?
No, not yet.
Not much of an update, just at the DPH. The mayor had a press conference with a pretty aggressive objective of getting folks, the majority of the San Francisco, vaccinated by the summer. So I thought it was it looked like it was thoughtful and set some benchmarks for the DPH to kind of be very aggressive at that. So Ken, I see a hand.
Yeah, I would hope we can talk a little bit about this. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Thanks.
I am in a long-term survivors group, and I am also have contact with a number of people that are older with HIV. And I have to say, it does nothing but just drive people crazy when there is such disorganization. I personally have signed up for Kaiser as a non-Kaiser member so I could get the vaccine from Kaiser. I am also should be eligible through UCSF. I'm also in the Compass program at San Francisco General. And I've signed up on the city website that they gave. And despite hearing friends who are getting it from Kaiser, or from people who are getting it from UCSF, I can get no one to answer anything other than for me to go back to my provider. I go to my provider and they tell me to go to Sutter. I go to Sutter and nobody at Sutter can answer anything. And if this is happening to me, it's happening to everybody or many, many people. And it's at a point, anecdotally, I'm not going to my weekly long-term survivors group because it just makes me so anxious when people ask me if I know, and when we as a group of 10 find that half of us have gotten it by happenstance, you know, because they happen to be connected to a doctor who was able to get somebody to answer. It's just, there's no rhyme or reason. And the city says they've got this system. The system crashed when you first tried to sign up for it. And now Kaiser, who I have family members that are just 65 and older and living in the South Bay, and they got it from Kaiser San Francisco by calling and waiting. Something's wrong with the system. And it just seems like, I know we can't, you know, we're not going to change anything, but at least highlighting that there needs to be some better way of communicating to a vulnerable population that is so anxious right now about this, other than what we've got now, which is just everybody telling you to, oh, wait, or it's, their problem or it's their problem or it's their problem. It's the Fed's problem. It's the state's problem. It's the city's problem. But there is no reason why there shouldn't be uniform kind of vaccine policy among the facilities in San Francisco. Kaiser should not be giving it out if nobody else is giving it out. Sutter should not be limiting to only healthcare providers and not 75 and older when UCSF is giving 75 and over and healthcare providers. There is no rhyme or reason.
I appreciate the feedback. And I think if anything, what this body can do is look for the density of that, right? If it's, so obviously a lot of people are having issues with that. And it's like, okay, so the more we share that out, put that out to the world. I think the response from the mayor was in response to the feedback and the frustration that's mounting with people. So I have no solution clearly, but at the same time, I want to acknowledge that I heard it and that people are working on it.
It's interesting, the city site is a notification site, but in that notification site, it says, this is not where you sign up for the vaccine. This is simply notifying you when you're eligible. So the nuances can also be very confusing. I don't know, does that mean I have to go to each of these large provider entities and somehow get on a list there? Again, it there needs to be just better communication.
I agree. So
I'm not trying to beat you up, Thomas. I'm just saying
I don't feel beat up. I thank you for thinking that or being considerate of my feelings. I know you well enough to know that your feedback is, I appreciate it. That's really what I'll say. So,
So just really quickly, Ken, like the challenge has really been that there was supposed to be, as you know, the supply that kind of sort of was promised that wasn't there. So that's why there's been a big sort of like, not confusion, I want to say this sort of like, let's halt this now because the original plan could not be executed. So I can tell you right now that Kaiser stopped that and they said, we're going to actually reach out to all our members who are 75 and older. That's where prioritizing. So people who are like super vulnerable, specifically senior populations are like, nope, no one can sign up. We're actually going to reach out to them. But specifically was because if they would have rolled out the vaccine protocol as was scheduled, there would have been there was no security in the second dose. That was it. There was no security in there being a second dose. So that means that the first dose vaccine would have been null and void because there was no confirmation of supply to make sure that they completed the regimen. So that's kind of sort of a short answer of why all those protocols are put on hold. And it was very disheartening. Because, you know, you show up for work Monday and then your email and your phone is blown up because everyone's like, why couldn't I get an appointment? It's like, well, that's the reason why.
Well, I think the other thing is then some better explanation because there are a number of people 65 and older in our community who did get it, you know, and outside our community that did get it. So...
Yeah, and from my lens, what I kind of saw is that there was trying to be a very measured tiering system. And then all of a sudden, somebody had epiphany of like, that is prohibiting us from moving quick enough to get it out the door. And so they kind of opened the floodgates for a second. And then they realized there is some supply issue. So they didn't want to, open the floodgates too far to overwhelm the system. And at the same time, if they narrow it too much, it doesn't go out. So I feel like they're trying to find that sweet spot of how do we open it just the right amount with what we have.
And I'm saying don't open it because if you consistently open the floodgates and close them, then it's merely about who can be on the phone constantly or who has the access to go through this, you know, almost hunger game of who can get in first. And that's crazy.
Yeah, no, I think that learning moment happened very quickly. So that happened once, that cycle, and we're now on the other side of it. And so people are being thoughtful about, okay, how do we prevent that? How do we get it out there? So I'm hoping that the second go around will be more successful, but I'm just hoping, and I don't want to pass excuses off or anything along those lines. Again, I think it's valid, and I think it's a real world issue. And I think you're right that a lot of people in our community, specifically living with HIV who are older, are probably experiencing a very similar thing. And so our role as a council is to advocate for those voices that aren't being heard. So,
Right. Thank you for that, Ken, that sort of like check-in about that. I know these questions are going to come up for the full council. So I'd rather that we start preparing for this conversation to have it, and also knowing that we have limitations. And also, I think part of the next agenda item is really seeing like what can we do in our role here on this council, specifically as a community planning body, to sort of be able to maybe navigate some of those questions, and also maybe be able to navigate our consumers to be able to get some of those answers. You know, because I think if you at the leadership level are this confused, I cannot imagine what anybody else is going through. And not being at that level of being able to have a conversation with like Thomas or with me, you know. And so that is actually feeding us into then our next topic, community questions. So Mark, can you help with that?
Just a moment, let me just find that email so I can just read it to you. Before I find it though, I'll say that HHS has already adopted a plan, which I will encapsulate this conversation and actually then connect this community member to Dean, who will then carry the conversation forward. So there it is, let me read it to you. I'm concerned about access to quality dental care for people with HIV/AIDS in San Francisco. I understand that Dr. Maria Flores' faculty dental clinic, WAs, has closed and that patients are being redirected to the student public dental clinic. This is a significant loss of services. Most of us have a much easier time accessing and paying for general healthcare services than dental care, which can be prohibitively expensive. I'll be interested in hearing about how dental care issues are being addressed by the council and informed of any meetings where it is being discussed. David Lewis.
So is that like a public comment or what is that?
It's a public comment, but it's since it's posed in the form of a question, I would like to follow up with it. And I think I'd love it if Evan and or Bill could speak on this so I can encapsulate their words to this community member and then connect them today to Dean.
Before we do, point of order, anybody else that came up with this kind of question, wouldn't we refer them to AIDS legal referral for the component we have? I can't remember the name now. The fellow that reports to follow up.
HCAP? This doesn't appear to be a grievance. It seems to be more of a query about what's happening with access for PLWH to dental services.
Yeah, service provision. So that would be a Kevin thing. And normally if they were present in the meeting and be like, oh, thank you for your comment. If you want, we can have one of the, you know, someone from HHS follow up with you after the meeting. So that's normally what would have happened. I don't know if it would be different now, but Kevin, would you like to say something on that?
And I really appreciate David, you saying that, and Ken, you're off, you're mentioning the AIDS legal referral panel, which I guess or client advocacy, let's call it, which is always an option. And should be made available to this person as well. And we do want to be responsive to the concerns that have been articulated, and we appreciate when these kinds of questions surface, but we do need to maintain a somewhat firm line here between the council's role, prioritization, allocation, and input into the broader system of care issues, and HHS's role, the grantee's role, which is, you know, contract management and system of care at the organizational level. That said, I think I can respond this way. It's not clear that this is a Ryan White client. I guess we'll find out. But this provider had a dentist that was working, I guess, in a semi-retired fashion, maybe a half day a week, and just decided to retire. That happens. Now, letters were sent to the patients, as well as letters of a list of referrals. So I understand this may not have been delivered. I'm not quite clear to this client, but we'll clear that up. It should be noted that this provider will continue to provide care for emergent dental services. So if you have an infection or a broken tooth or something, it's a good idea to arrive early and perhaps call ahead of time to see what kind of availability there is, but that will continue as well. Other than that, we really need to stay clear of this issue in this meeting.
Thank you. I think that's a great encapsulation of what I can actually, how I could actually respond to them. First of all, say that it's from based on the discussion at steering, my understanding is that changes have happened at that particular provider. That said, it's important for me to point out to you, person, that the council actually does not engage with service provision specific to actual agencies. That's not our mandate. And so because of that, I'd like to connect you with HIV Health Services staff who can better answer your question. How does that sound?
Bill, I know Bill is here too. I don't know if he wanted to add anything.
Yes, no, I think you guys have said it all brilliantly. Yeah, I think that's the issue.
Brilliant is not usually a descriptor that's applied to me.
In this case, merited. Yeah, in both cases, merited. You know, the other thing that one could say is that dental is just a larger issue. So maybe this is an educational piece, a reminder piece for people who have been on longer. We can demand what we contract for. And so one set of services does contract with dentists, the other contracts with a dental service, and that the service is provided by the students. So we don't have a huge number of options for dental. So that's, and I'm sorry for the background noise. I'm sorry, I'm at a pharmacy waiting. But that's the other piece that drives this.
Okay, thank you. So thank you, Mark, for the public comment. And thank you for the follow-up with that. Basically, it's one of the things that there's restrictions in terms of we can respond to you here. And as well, we have our referrals. There's a client advocacy as well as HHS. I have them address that issue. Right. Thank you. All right. Now we're moving on to community question section of our agenda. So basically, the idea was to have small breakout groups at the full council meeting to talk about some of these posing questions, specifically around sort of like COVID, our community planning body, and the way we're functioning, as well as potentially asking ourselves sort of like several questions that we may need to address at some point as we move forward and plan our scope of work for the year. Specifically, you know, like as in, you know, Ken mentioned earlier, you know, what's it going to look like when people start getting the vaccine and actually engaging then in sexual contact and also, you know, maybe increasing substance use. So that is sort of like the background of what this particular section or part of the meeting will be on Monday, was for us to have these conversations amongst ourselves and bring them forward and sort of have some as a running sort of living sort of like background document, something that we may need to address at some point, but at least have that conversation to know that we're trying to be forward thinking about it and not being reactionary, but actually proactive about it. Anything else we should talk about? Yes, Mark.
A couple things, and I also want to respond to Ken's query he just posted in chat. So thank you, David, for encapsulating that. My recommendation would be to look at these breakout sessions, breakout groups, as considering three different items. And it's nice that this will be at the end of the meeting, because at that point we'll have had the COVID-19 update around the vaccine. We'll have had the COLA report and the needs assessment report. So that'll be hopefully plenty of food for thought. I do think the first question people should be asking is just a small amount of time to reflect on 2020. This is replacing the year in review, which will be posted on the website instead. And so I think it would be important for just, you know, during this 20, 25 minute portion, like a good 5 minutes just be spent on if anyone wants to reflect on 2020. Because 2020, as horrible as it was, it certainly should, you know, it didn't exist in a vacuum. And so if people want to reflect on that, they should be given the space. And I love the idea of just a sort of general question, sort of what, where you're coming from, David, and I think what Ken first mentioned maybe a meeting ago, which is what are some goals that you have for the work of this council in the future, including when we come back together in person? And then maybe even a specific question about what are your what are you hearing in the community around the coronavirus and its vaccine? I think those are three pretty big questions, and I think that could take up the entire 25 minute or so 20-25 minute. We'll look at the agenda later. Period of time. I think if we go beyond that, that'll be a challenge. I also think a challenge to speak to Ken's question will be on making sure that I can have leadership in each of these Zoom breakout sessions. I think I can. I'm actually doing a training this weekend, which will include breakout sessions. So I'll be practicing before Monday. But from what I did as far as my practice session, I think I can do a randomized breakout sessions and hold people back and then place them in those particular groups. I think I'm able to do that because I think I just did that a couple of days ago with my team, my volunteer services team. So all that said, I think that's how it can go. Okay, thank you, Thomas. It is definitely a feature. I don't want to do the feature in Zoom that organizes in advance because I don't know who's going to be there and I don't know what email addresses they're coming from. So I think before the breakout session goes, I'd invite, you know, any members of the public, or I guess even including council staff, that if they don't want to be in a breakout session, they should probably leave the meeting at that point, because otherwise they will automatically be going into a breakout group. I don't think it's necessarily problematic if staff or public join these breakout sessions, because community voices are, I think, are important, and staff voices might be helpful. But the focus should, of course, be entirely on council members, and I think that's what why it's important for me to try this putting leadership in each of these breakout groups. Does that all make sense? How big do you think they should be? Like 5 people, 6 people? What would be your optimum? 5?
Ben, go for it. No, but Dave, did you want to say something? No, okay. Traditionally, how many folks have we had attending the last like meeting or so?
So I think that's a question. Do you have a raised hand?
Yeah, I do have a raised hand. Do we raise our hand like this or do we do?
Yeah,
you can cover all your bases.
I didn't make, I'm so sorry, David. I didn't make you a co-host, so you cannot see raised hands. So sorry, I'll do that now. So
my question mark is, or my comment mark is, how many is, I don't think as important as having each group being peppered with a diversity of people in their representation. And I don't know how you do that except at the last minute. And hopefully you have the ability to do that.
I won't have the ability to really do that unless people are willing to go beyond the meeting time. For me, I can't do that in advance. It would be ideal in some ways to do that in advance because I don't know who will be showing up or what emails they'll be showing up. I need email addresses and who's showing up to actually do all that in advance. To do it in the moment would require me probably to have about 20 minutes to actually move people around into the different groups. I think a lot to ask council members to hold on. So unfortunately, I think that there's going to be it's going to take me probably like 5 minutes just to make sure that I pull out council co-chairs and put them in. And it won't just be council co-chairs because there probably won't, if it's 5, there probably won't be enough council co-chairs to be in each one. So I'll probably put myself in one, Ken, I'll probably put you in one. You know, I'm going to go towards steering members to, in some ways, be the point people as well. And that will take me like 5 minutes just to do that. To make sure the groups are very diverse, that's going to take a lot of time, which I don't think we have in the agenda.
Haven't we just numbered off before? And the, you know, like as a, so, I mean, I think randomization is fine at this point, just to keep it within the constraints of the time that we have. Any other comments or questions, or maybe something we would like to also ask the small groups for Monday? Okay.
What I'll do well, is I'll put those three questions in the agenda. We'll be reviewing the agenda, so they're not there now, so that people will have them in advance of the small groups so that they can begin considering before they even get to the small groups. Does that sound good to you all?
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So that's that. Great. Moving on to full council agenda.
All right. Let me pull that up. You all see that? So pro forma, a pretty jam-packed general update, but since we haven't had those for a while, I felt awkward about potentially eliminating them for the first meeting of the year. Jam-packed especially because I have shoved the State Office of AIDS update in there when it usually gets its own agenda item. So you'll see that's only 15 minutes. So for those folks here who are doing those reports, Kevin, Thomas, you're gonna have to make them brief, sorry. And then we have John Zumowski. Not sure if he's a physician. If he is, I'll add doctor in here. Does anyone know if he's a physician? He was very casual in his email with me. So he does not refer to himself as a doctor. So I don't know. Anyone know? He is? Okay. Let's just add a nice little title there.
Adorable. Yeah, Mark, he's also the assistant director of Ward 86.
Oh, okay. Great. Wow. He's very down to earth and easy to work with for such an elevated position. Excellent. Will be here. Yes?
If you want to put me last on the general updates, I can adjust based on how much time everybody else takes. Do you know what I mean? I can speak for longer or shorter, if that helps.
Can I do that with you too, Kevin? So we don't even know if what's his face? Paul will show up since he's been so heavily involved with housing during pandemic housing that he hasn't appeared at, I don't think, any committee meetings and perhaps only council meeting. So we could potentially go through this pretty fast, right? But thank you both for being willing to be at the end of that. Okay, so going back to where I was at, we have 25 minutes for Dr. John. COLA report from Melina. Again, another short one, but Melina was only able, because of pandemic-related reasons, to do one COLA, as we see there. It's targeting Portuguese-speaking consumers of services. Again, with Dave, it's shorter than usual, about a full half hour or 45 minutes, as we have done in the past. But again, because of pandemic-related challenges, the numbers are low in this year's needs assessment. Dave, do you think that's enough time for you and Melina? Yeah, okay. And then we go into the small groups for 20 minutes. Of course, any time that we save, and we often do save time because we do, not always, but sometimes end meetings early, will just be added on to the small groups.
All right, Ken, you have a question?
Yeah, can we get the handouts to be sent out in advance, please? Even if it's minutes before, having something you can look at with a, because some of us are using smaller screens and especially the COVID presentation. And we talked about this before with Dave and the issue was that they had just done it. Well, at this point, we must have them. So can we send them out?
So for the COVID-19 update, My understanding is that there's actually not a presentation. It will be a verbal update, and then it will be sort of an open Q&A, in particular around the logistics of vaccine dispersal. So there'll be nothing to forward there. Dave, if you can reach out to Melina, and perhaps both, I don't know if you both have completed that in final format yet. Have you?
I don't know if Melina has. I know that she had fairly minimal edits to make. I am still waiting on potential responses from provider follow-up. So I have not finalized mine, but it is like 90%. I was planning on, you know, finalizing it tomorrow afternoon, assume that we have it available to send out then.
Okay. So Valerie, if what I could ask you to do is when you send out the full council agenda, probably today, sometime after 5, check in with Melina first, see if she has the COLA report available. If she does, please send that out with the draft agenda. And Dave, I just ask that as like when you finish yours, whether it's Friday or if it's Monday morning, as Ken mentioned, as always, it's before the meeting, just pass that on to Valerie. And Valerie, if you could just send that out. So the council members will then be getting 2 emails, one with the agenda and minutes and maybe the COLA, and another with the needs assessment and maybe the COLA if it couldn't appear the first one. That sound good to everyone?
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to stop share and I'll update that small groups to include the 3 questions before sending on to you, Valerie, after this meeting.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you. And I think that's it for today's agenda. Is there anything else we can get to talk about or to include? No. Oh, I actually have a question. Does anybody know if that Getting to Zero folks ever updated that website of like what providers are open right now and what's the procedure for them to receive their STI testing and HIV testing stuff? Yeah, I think so. All right. I'll look into it because there's been questions about that, specifically now with sort of COVID, the way it's altered the way some community providers have been doing those services. So I'll look into that.
This is Bill. You may want to check in with Courtney Leiby for that information.
Yeah, no, I will. Yeah, because there was supposed to be something going up online and I haven't seen it. That's why I was asking the question if anyone has seen that. Cool, great. Well, if there's nothing else, then just a reminder that the next student body meeting will be on February 18th at 3:00. And that's it for today. And also, you know, full council meeting on Monday, 4:00, right? Hopefully, because you were having some questions about that last week. All right. Thank you all for attending. See you all on Monday, hopefully. Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.